Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Leah and Clara, will you guys come up here real quick and help me out? If you have your Bibles and you're willing and able, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We have this week, and then next week we will finish off our series here on Ecclesiastes. Why don't you guys come right down here? And I just want to show you, these are my helpers. They have wore Carl the camel shirt with us. They can tell you the story about Carl the camel. Ask Lene as well. Any of the teens, I'm sure, could tell you. Carl is a member of our staff here at West Hill and honorary. He's really cheap to feed and to pay, and so we thought we'd honor Carl by putting him on our t-shirts. But there is a way that your child, if you have a child or grandchild, they can get one of these one-of-a-kind t-shirts. If they only come to, at the bottom it says, what's that say there? Greenhouse Kids. So if you come five times, right, Lene? Five times to Greenhouse Kids, starting when? It started at the beginning of the summer, but you're not too late. Five times, all right? If you come to Greenhouse Kids five times, sorry, teens, you are in a teen logos class. You're not in Greenhouse Kids. And I'm sorry, parents, we might work out a deal for the right price. You could get one of these, but we do need to pay off our loan for this bathroom. So maybe that, no, I'm just teasing. But these are really just to encourage our children. And so if you have a child or grandchild, 5 weeks at Greenhouse Kids, you can get a Carl the camel shirt. Thanks for wearing yours today. It makes me look not quite as silly and crazy, even though I am silly and crazy, right? Yeah, Lene wore hers, so it wouldn't make me look crazy either. So she already knows I'm crazy. Thank you, girls. I appreciate that. I mentioned Pastor David and Emily and Pastor Ed and Gail. They're in Boston, and so pray for them as they enjoy this week. I will be, Lisa and I will be heading up to Camp Patmos on Kelly's Island. I'll be able to preach this week to the senior high group there, so super excited about that. I haven't preached at Patmos since 1996, I was figuring. That was a long time ago. And I haven't spoke to campers. I haven't preached at camp for many years. Like, it's been a long time. So I have to admit, I am actually a little nervous to go and preach to these teenagers this week. But I'm super excited, though, too. And I just would ask if you would just pray for me. We'll be walking through the book of Galatians. And so we'll have, I have 9 sermons that I'll be preaching throughout the week, one on Monday and then 2 every day after that. And so super excited about being able to just walk through the Word. We had one of our largest weeks ever at Skyview this past week with over 275 campers and several salvations there and several salvations up at Patmos as well. And so God is continuing to work through camp ministry, and we're grateful, thankful for those who are our own children who are going to camp and part of that camp experience. And so if you would just pray for that. And Lisa's going to be with me for the first half, and so I'll behave. Pray for me the second half, because she has to come and help set up the decorations. So pray that I will behave that second half. That's the real prayer time that I'll need. Somebody said amen. Who says that? Yeah. If you have your Bibles, you're willing and able, would you stand with me? We're going to read through Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and the first part of chapter 12 here as we look at death is a reality. Death is a reality. And so if you would, again, follow along with me, I'll be reading from the ESV. It'll be up on the screen behind me, but I hope that you'll follow in your text there with you. Solomon writes, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, In the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He will observe the wind. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Let me just pause for a moment because I won't cover this too much. These first four verses are kind of a continuation of what we saw in chapter 10, where Solomon gives little bites of just nuggets of wisdom. And so he gives these nuggets, helping us to see, again, you're casting your bread on water. You're like, well, if I do that, it's going to sink. Right? Like, what's the purpose of, why would you throw bread on water? It would be bad. Again, nuggets of wisdom of helping you to see, hey, when you throw out opportunities, what we would say is diversify. When you throw out and invest in different places, that's where he says to give a portion to seven or eight. He's talking about he's not talking about necessarily retirement, but what he's saying is you're investing in different places and different people, and you're going to see and reap the harvest from that. And so we see that kind of in these first four verses. And then he begins in verse 5 of chapter 11, where then he will continue in kind of bringing a conclusion to what he's been talking about as he's walked through the futility of satisfaction apart from God. So let's continue. Verse 5, as you do not know the way of the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with a child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the day of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are all darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and those grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low, they are afraid also what is high, and terrors are on the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Would you pray with me, Lord? Thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to open it together. And I pray that you would help us to utilize the opportunity that you've given us here in this moment to hear from you, to hear from your word. I pray that we would not just be hearers of your word this morning, but we would be doers of your word. Instill in us a desire to love you, to draw near to you, to walk with you. And Lord, knowing that you love us so much and you want that continual relationship with us. So bless our time here together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody said to me this morning, they're like, they took the notes and they saw the top part of it. And they're like, oh, this is such an upper kind of sermon today, right? Death is a reality, and we're not here to be discouraging. We're not here to be negative. We're not here just to go to leave in a few moments and just be like, oh, life is horrible. It's all vanity, and say, well, I'm just quoting scripture. The truth is, we know. If we're honest, death is certain. Unless Jesus returns, death is certain for each one of us. Death here on this earth, when I say that, there is an eternal aspect of being able to experience eternal life, which we'll talk about. But the truth is, death here on this earth is certain. The wise person joyfully lives today, remembering who gave him life, remembering that it is God who gives you this life that we walk through each day. This sermon, while we will talk about dying, isn't primarily about dying. It's about how the certainty of death changes the way that we live. There is a certainty about death, and what we do with it should change how we live each day. Imagine imagine that your doctor would tell you the exact day you would die. Not the year, not the decade, but the exact day. How different would you live? Most of us live as though death is something that's going to happen. We know it'll happen to us, but death happens to other people. And one day, we know it's going to happen to us. But we schedule our year. We assume certain things in life. We assume that we're going to get to retire. We even sometimes, I've talked with people, and especially young people, where they will postpone being serious about their walk with Jesus until they get a little bit older. Some days, maybe you've even said, I'll forgive that person later. I'm not ready to forgive them now. We imagine that we'll do what has to be done later because we've got time. Solomon helps us to see here through great imagery that, again, we don't know the works of God. And we have an opportunity, as Solomon takes an interruption in our perspective, to help us to see that death is coming for all of us. And it's actually an awakening for us. My desire as you leave here today is that you will be awakened. You will be inspired, that you will be encouraged to make the most of the life that we have here on this earth, knowing that death on this earth is a certainty. Death isn't the enemy of joy. Death should be a teacher. Death should be the one that helps show us and lead us to the Word and to Jesus and to the Spirit so that we know how to live. So how do we do this? Let's look, and you can follow along in your notes. Number one here, I've shared this a few times as we've gone through Ecclesiastes, and so I remind us one more time here to enjoy God's gifts while we have them, to enjoy God's gifts while we have them. And we see this in the first seven verses as he shares the wisdom in the first four. He shares here with us that light is sweet. And so Solomon brings with him, in the midst of death and the certainty of it, an optimism. A life is beautiful. The sun rises. Again, we think about the things that are pleasurable to us, children laughing, friendships, meals. Solomon has talked about enjoying our food and drink often. He also talks about work that matters. And so these are all gifts, and we don't need to be embarrassed as Christians about enjoying God's gifts. We need to, and we should enjoy the God who gave us these gifts and thank him for them. What's interesting as I look at this is we often look at work as a negative. And when I look at this text, I see work as one of those blessings. When you look at the terms here of casting, of giving, of sowing, there's this mentality of us doing. which I'm a doer. I like doing. It's hard for me just to sit. And so this is a gift that we can look and say, thank you to God that he allows us not just to sit and to enjoy a meal or the quiet time, but also the gift of work. You know, Adam and Eve worked in the garden. Adam, that was his job, and that was before sin. Some people say, oh, we'll just sit around on the clouds and play our harps, and we don't have to do any work in heaven. No, we're gonna have jobs. I believe we'll have work to do, but that work won't be like the work here. It'll be perfect work. I often wonder if I'm going to sweat in heaven. I was going to make a joke about being hot, but I'll let you finish it, okay? Solomon is helping us to see, as he describes in verse 7, light is sweet. It's a picture for us, our lives. It's sweet. It's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. You say, well, if you look into your eyes, aren't you going to burn your like retinas? That's not Solomon saying don't stare into the sun. I don't know if you saw it last night, but man, we had a beautiful sunset last night. Absolutely just gorgeous. And when you look at that, you're just like, wow. You don't look at a sunrise or a sunset and you're like, that's like the ugliest thing I ever saw. Like you don't view it that way. And there's something about the light and about the stars and about the moon that draws us naturally. And Solomon's helping us to see again, the gifts that God has given us, we get to enjoy. And so I ask you this question, what simple thing can you do to enjoy your life right now? It's a decision, isn't it? It's a choice. But in that choice, what are you doing to enjoy it? And again, don't just make that about you individually. Let me encourage you that you would do that with community together. Enjoyment must come with perspective, because we see here in verse 8, where Solomon helps us to see, remember the days of darkness will be many. Life is short. Darkness is coming. I thought about this week, and this isn't in my notes to share, but it has become reality. You know, we were gearing up for this wedding, and everything was good, and I'm holding myself together, and I'm like, this is all good, right? And I'm not going to get too emotional and just embrace, enjoy this life, right? And I thought I did pretty good. Like, there was just one moment where I got a little emotional. It was just Lene and I in the gym before we walked down the aisle. But other than that, it was good. Dylan even complimented me. He's like, it's like, Mr. Varner, you did such a great job. I'm like, for what? He's like, you just held it together. And I'm like, yeah, I did. But it dawned on me this week why I was so good. It was because I knew they were coming back. I knew they weren't moving away yet. And so I'm okay. Like, go have your honeymoon. You can go for a while, but you're coming back home. And this week I realized something. They're not staying here much longer. And with that perspective, it changes, right? Like, what is like, man, this is great. I embrace this. You realize there is an end, and it's like, oh, they're not going to live here forever. And so in 2 short weeks, they're gone. They're like, well, they're gone. Where are they going? They're not gone forever. I'm just saying they're moving 2 hours away, 3 hours away, 3 hours, 3 hours away. And yet with that perspective, it helps you to enjoy what you have now, right? And Solomon is telling us that. That's the picture that he's helping us to see. Enjoy, embrace right now. Regardless of what struggles and hardships and trials you're going through, there is light there. You may have to look to see it, and there are times in our life it's very challenging and very hard, but there is blessing and pleasantness to that light. And remember, death is a reality, and one day that's coming. It's certain. So enjoy today. That's a choice. It's a decision. It's much like when we look at the sand that is falling through the hourglass. Nobody's paying attention at first, the sand falling through the first few grains. But what we do is we pay attention when the last little bit gets down there, right? When's it ending? We see the bottom filling up, and then the last grain falls through. Our birthdays remind us another year is gone. Time doesn't stop. It keeps moving. So how can you do something simple to enjoy the gift that God's given you? Don't postpone your joy. Enjoy your spouse. Play with your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Take a walk. Laugh with friends. Eat a meal. Praise God. Because tomorrow's not promised here. So enjoy today. Our second point is to remember your Creator before your body fails. Remember your Creator before your body fails. We see this in verses 8 through of chapter 11, verse 7 of chapter 12. At first, when you first read this, it's kind of like, okay, what is Solomon talking about? And I have to be honest, it was very like, okay, I don't get this. But actually, when you start making sense of it, this is maybe one of the greatest poems about aging that's ever been written. And so Solomon is going to help us to see, he's going to paint a picture that shows us what aging looks like. And so all the signs are here, all right? He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he walks through this. He says, the keeper of the house trembles. When you start getting old, and I've even noticed this too, what happens to your hand? You start shaking, right? You get older. I'm like, hello, hold it together, right? Strong men bend. Legs get weaker, don't they? Like, no, not me. Grinders cease. How many of you still have all your teeth? Those of you who are well seasoned. That's good if you do. It's a blessing. I can't say that I have all of mine. And I'm getting older. But Solomon's helping us to see the grinders cease, teeth disappear, the windows grow dim. What happens to your eyes as you get older? Your eyesight fades. The doors are shut. What'd you say? You have trouble hearing. The rise at the sound of birds. Anybody struggle with sleep as you've gotten older? The almond tree blossoms. Some of you have it. White hair, gray hair, white hair. Grasshoppers drags itself along. You walk a lot slower when you get older. And desire fails. Your physical appetite just isn't what it was. Solomon's not trying to be cynical here. He's just helping us to see the reality of life. He says in verse 7 here, dust returns to the earth. You and I have the great privilege of having a soul and a spirit, and that will live forever in either a place called heaven or a place called hell. Our bodies are just made up of dust. And one day, if Jesus ceases to return, your body will return back to dust. The Spirit returns to God for judgment. That judgment means you will spend eternity in heaven if you are a child of His, or eternity in hell. But the truth is, death wins here on this earth. You're dust, and we return to dust. The beautiful aspect of God's grace is this, though, that our soul, our spirit, has the opportunity to live with our Creator forever. For those who belong to Jesus, Jesus entered into death for us. Jesus defeated death. What we can't overcome, Jesus overcame. And so we read a section of like the realities of our bodies decaying and breaking down. We see Jesus overcame that. He overcame when He was put in a grave, and for 3 days His body lay there, and yet 3 days after His death, Jesus rose from the dead, and He conquered sin, but He also conquered death, and He offers us life eternal. And we look at and we see death is that doorway. Death isn't our destination. Death is a doorway to eternity forever. And it's as clear as this. Will you accept the gift that He gives you? Will you accept the gift that Jesus offers to you so that you can have life forever? He died for you. He took your place. He took the punishment that we all deserve because we are imperfect people. We're disobedient. We're sinners. We're born with that heart condition, and there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to fix that. God knew that. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus. And that's why God asked us to place our faith in Him, not in ourselves, not other things, not other people. They can't deliver us from death. Only Jesus can. And He delivers us from death because He conquered death. And He offers you life. Do you know Him as Savior? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Today He invites you to do that. It's a decision that you must make. It's not passed down from your family to you. It's a decision that every single soul, every single spirit must make. You have a decision. And to delay that decision today is to reject Jesus Christ. He offers you hope. He offers you a way for you to experience life here on this earth and for all of eternity, unlike anything and anybody else can offer you. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's awesome. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we sing, there's 10,000 reasons. Because we believe and we've experienced and we know the grace of God that's poured over us. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because the truth is, if you have a vehicle and you live in Northeastern Ohio, you know what happens to that vehicle, right? Over time, man, I have a beautiful, I call it my grace gift. I have a beautiful grace gift that sits out there. It's red, it's hard to miss. And I really enjoy driving that grace gift. But one thing I continue to notice year after year is there's this orange stuff that comes underneath it. And so I have to get under there and I have to work at trying to prevent rust from destroying my vehicle. You know what the Bible says? It's not going to work, Aaron. It's only temporary, right? And so you might go and buy a brand new car, but eventually what will happen to it? It will rust and it will break down. No matter how expensive, no matter how much work you put into it, some people will say, well, I've got this really old car that sits in my garage. Yeah, and you don't drive it. You can't do that with our lives. You have to live. If you sit inside, you're going to die anyway. Our bodies are far more valuable than any car, and yet we look at them and we see, even as Paul writes in the book of Romans, this tent is groaning. our bodies wear out. The hope isn't to be placed in trying to preserve our bodies. Our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do you need to do in order to remind yourself to remember about God? We need reminders, don't we? I tried to give my phone a reminder, and it says, "You have no reminder for that." Right? That's why I'm asking you to put something down to remind me. How are you remembering the God of your youth? And you say, "Well, I didn't come to know Jesus when I was young." Solomon is giving us instruction that when you are young, follow him, remember him, because the day is coming when it's going to be harder. Your heart is going to experience hardship, struggles, the difficulties of the darkness, where it's going to be harder to place your faith and trust in him. And so remember him. Look to him. What do you need to do today to remember? Maybe you sit on your back porch and you take some time to remember. Maybe you journal. Maybe you sit and you recall how God has blessed you. One time, I remember Lisa and I, we were sitting just in our living room, and it was just sporadic, but we just sat there, just the two of us, and we just looked at all the stuff that we had. And all of a sudden, we just started saying, like, we got that from so-and-so. And somebody gave, oh, yeah, remember when so-and-so gave us that? And over and over and over again, we just saw the faithfulness of God and how he had provided so many different little things. And while we could see that, there was so much more that we were remembering how God was faithful to us. Remember, take time to remember. While you have time here on this earth, it changes your perspective. It changes how you live life today. Remember. Point number three is this: live today in light of eternity. Live today in light of eternity. We see here twice, two different times, where Solomon helps us to see in verse 8, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice. Solomon's going to help us to see rejoice and remembering go hand in hand, where he says, rejoice in them all, but let him remember the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. And then in verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And then in verse chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember also. So this idea of rejoicing is paired together with remembering. And so we live today with the view of what's coming, of all of eternity. And so we look and we say, I am so blessed. I rejoice because I see, I remember God's faithfulness. Joy without remembrance becomes foolishness. Remembrance without joy can become legalism. The Christian we hold both of them together. Celebrating life, but also remembering what is eternal. We live fully now, but we hold loosely because we know it's not ours. We're not the owner. We're just stewards. We love deeply and we give generously. We forgive quickly and we serve faithfully. Because why? Because death is real. What does your life represent? I have it there in your notes. Your life represents equals. Write it down. What does your life represent? And then let me ask you this question. As you think about your life, how can you improve your perspective? We all need to see life through the lens of God's eyes, not our own. And Solomon is reminding us here as he says, rejoice, but remember. He's helping us to see and to look as he gets to the end of verse 7 here, verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let me remind you, like I did in week one, vanity doesn't mean worthless. Vanity means you have no control over it. Vanity means it's like the smoke that arises, and 1 minute it's there and the next it's gone. It's vanity is like the steam that comes off your hot cup of coffee. You see it, it's evident, but then it's gone. You can't grab a hold of it. That's life. Life under the sun. Solomon has been helping us to see week after week, and he ends this section with, it's all vanity. And so how do we live life with the right perspective? We see that this book continues to ask us, is there anything that can satisfy what my heart and what my soul desires? And the answer has repeatedly been one thing after another, no. Not wisdom, not work, not wealth, not pleasure, not success, not even long life. But we have the rest of the story. Jesus arrives. He is the wisdom that is greater than Solomon. He is the life that death can't destroy. He gives eternal life to all who will trust in him. Ecclesiastes leaves us longing what Christ fulfills. Here's our application. Those of you who are young students, children, people wearing Carl the Camel, don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth. Build your life on Jesus now. Be committed to him now. Don't say, I follow Jesus later. Follow Jesus now. For young families, your children will not stay small forever. It goes quickly. Treasure these years. Embrace them and lead your children to Jesus. Help them to see Jesus in you. Help them to embrace his character. Walk with Jesus and help your children to see his great love in your life and through your life. For those who are middle-aged, oh, that's me now. For those of us who are middle-aged and those who are still holding on to that, don't become consumed by accumulating. It's not about getting more. Invest. Invest in what will last. Invest in lives. Treasure those young around you. Utilize your time not as the world would see you, but invest your time as God would want you to. For senior adults, those who are seasoned, your life is not done. You have a great usefulness to God. Stay faithful. Don't put yourself on a shelf. Find ways to continue to invest in the community of Jesus Christ. Finish faithfully. Don't stop pursuing Jesus. We know Solomon at the end of his life. He struggled with this, didn't he? And we know why. Part of it is because God's warning to the nation of Israel was not to marry outside women from other nations because, not because they were bad, not because they were ugly, not because there was something wrong with them. He warned them, he warned Israel, don't marry outside, because if you do, those women will carry your hearts away. He knew that. Solomon didn't listen. And he had many wives and many concubines. And the scripture tells us that they ultimately led his heart away from God. Resolve in your mind and your heart that you will not allow the circumstances of other people to draw you away from Jesus. Whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, that you will resolve not to allow bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt to drive a wedge between your faithfulness to Jesus. Stay faithful. Leave a legacy of faith. Continue to set the example, even in your imperfection. How do you improve your perspective? Open your eyes. You're alive. Enjoy the light. The darkness is coming. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Without God, life slips away. The bodies fail, dreams fade, death comes. But because of Jesus, death has lost its sting. Life has meaning. Hope survives the grave. And so we get to remember our Creator and our God. We get to rejoice in His gifts. And we get to live every day knowing that eternity is nearer than it has been before. My closing challenge to you, if you knew this year was your last, what would you stop chasing after? What relationship do you need to restore? What act of obedience have you delayed? What would it look like to rejoice in God's gifts while you remember your Creator? Death is not merely the end of life on this earth. It is the lens that helps teach us how to live. For those of us who are in Christ, the certainty of death is embraced with the certainty of the resurrection. Amen? As we have so many weeks, so I ask you now, how do I live now with the end in view? Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Thank you that we can rejoice and that you've given us the ability to remember. You've given us the opportunity to enjoy. We don't have to walk around with our heads down and depression and sorrow and grief, that despair. Lord, we get to live life with a view of eternity, of hope, of knowing that death here on this earth is not the end. And while it is very real, it doesn't have to control us. It can help shape us, to shape our priorities, to shape how we live, to help shape our relationships and what we pursue. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that your Spirit would awaken us. Help us to realize, to not be sleeping, but Lord, to be awake to the life that you've given us, and that we would fully embrace what you want from each one of us, what you want from our church. Help us to live obediently, not to our own desires, not to our own wants, but raise us up so that your name would be magnified, so that your kingdom would grow for your glory. Help us each to see that we are part of this. We get to be a part of this body of Christ that you've given us. And Lord, help us not to just, again, to be hearers of your word, to be doers of it. So awaken our soul, Lord, that your spirit will continue to work, not only today, but as we walk throughout our week, that we would desire to live according to your way, that we would listen to your spirit as you speak to us, that we would be quick to act as you speak, regardless of how hard, how difficult, or even how joyous it may be. Lord, may we be people who not just say that we love you, but that we show others that we love you. Help us to live in a way that displays what a child of God looks like. Thank you, Lord. With the view of eternity in mind, we can live joyfully today. So go before us as we leave from here. May, again, your spirit be active and working within us, and may our hearts and our minds be soft to your word and to your speaking. We love you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Just a quick reminder, there'll be a quick meeting here for those who are serving in VBS. And if you want or desire to help out, Lene would love to have you up here as well. Please be praying that God would work in lives for VBS. Prayer is essential, and we want to see God work. And in order for that to happen, we can plan all we want, but we need the Spirit of the God who created us to work in hearts and lives. So please pray with us this week and next week. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Embrace the life that God's given you, knowing we're all going to die. You laughed. God's blessing.